Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Voice of the Cape, Drive Time 91.3. Hamas's new charter was leaked 2 weeks ago and published by the Lebanese network Al-Mayadeen. The charter is the first new document on Hamas's core ideology since its founding covenant was published in 1988. To help us understand its current political discourse is Tawfiq Haddad. Tawfiq is a Palestinian-American writer based in Ramallah. He is the core author and editor of Between the Lines, Readings in Israel, The Palestinians, and the U.S. War on Terror, and Towards a New Internationalism, Readings in Globalization, the Global Justice Movement, and Palestinian Liberation. Tawfiq Haddad's writings on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict have been featured in The National, Al Jazeera, Journal of Palestine Studies, ZNet, Counterpunch, International Socialist Review, and The Socialist Worker. Tawfiq Haddad, a political analyst and author and writer, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You were one of the first people to have heard something of Hamas's alleged new charter via the Lebanese network in Arabic. Judging by what I've heard, and I haven't heard the original, it seems to have some interesting departures from the old document or covenant or whatever one would like to call it. Noticeably, it seems to have dropped out the protocols of Zion, which were present in the 1988 version.
That's correct. That's one of the points that is often made about the first Hamas charter, which came out in 1988, which is fair enough. Of course, it exists there, but it's also kind of important to just contextualize the environment within which that document was created. It's very much a product of the formation of the new movement from Gaza. Gaza being, as you your listeners must know, a territory that's filled with Palestinian refugees that had been under occupation for many years. 3/4 of the population there, of course, refugees. And, of course, in the context of the failures of the PLO historically to achieve the rights of the Palestinians. And then at the time, it was coming out just around when the first Intifada was exploding. So Hamas was actually under pressure. It was the predecessor of Hamas was under its pressure to produce a document to sort of consolidate what was their political project. And they came out with this the initial charge of 1988, which is quite a millenarist document somewhat. I mean, there is not a clear distinction made between Judaism and Zionism, or Jews and Zionists. And it includes a whole sort of series of elements which, you know, for instance, it cares a lot about Islam and its sort of historical struggle and how Palestine fits in with that. Somehow it's trying to create an educational base and a political platform for the launching of the new project. So it also includes with it parts of the sort of ideas that are not very well, not the product of scholarship or deep policy analysis or research, but very much so sort of a document that is a call to arms, a call to go back to Islam, a call to jihad, a call to mobilize the resources of the Palestinian people to be able to take upon it the struggles of trying to liberate Palestine and achieve Palestinian rights. The latest document is much more, this is a much more mature document that reflects where Hamas has come after more than 20 years. It's almost 30 years now. And Hamas has become a major political party. It won elections in 2006. It has been governing in some form or another the Gaza Strip for the past 10 years. And the needs and demands of the movement have changed. The movement also became much wider and was able to consolidate support bases obviously in the West Bank, in Gaza, but also beyond in the diaspora. Plus, the political, playing the political game also brings with it different forms of political and strategic and tactical exigencies. And these are reflected in the document. So it has dropped all those kind of millenarist approaches to the conflict. It's much more a document that is based out of a kind of realpolitik, while not abandoning the larger struggles of the Palestinian people and their rights, but also not abandoning the sources of from which Hamas believes the Palestinian movement is launched. And of course, this includes Islam, but it also includes strong nationalist elements, strong elements trying to speak, cutting against any divisive politics, sectarianism, discrimination. It is very clear about making a distinction between Zionism and Judaism. Judaism, tactically or strategically, perhaps, it accepts in this document the possibility for the establishment of a Palestinian state in the 1967 borders, of course, caveating that this could only be accepted if, of course, the Palestinian refugees have the right to return, and that this does not signify any kind of surrender of Palestinian claims to all of historical Palestine, which Hamas is dedicated to, and will continue to move forward in regards to its project. Additionally, it's very clear that it does not accept the legitimacy or recognize Israel, its claims to Palestine, the Zionist movement, and sort of the document follows from there, trying to outline different sort of internal and external elements for how to do that. So, for instance, it accepts the framework of the PLO, calling for its reform. It demands that it operate and Palestinian politics be conducted in a democratic manner with dialogue and understanding to try and form unity. And and quite importantly, it argues that the principles of moderation and fighting for the oppressed and their rights is an obligation of Islam. And therefore, what this document does is trying to elucidate more clearly a lot of the principles that were in the earlier document, but that were mixed up with this kind of parochial vision that was very much the product of an underground movement cut off from the world, the product of extreme oppression, and some of the different ideas that exist in the Arab and Islamic world, including conspiracy theories that are out there. So, for instance, in that earlier document, indeed, they made mention of things like Protocol of Zion. They mentioned things like the Rotary Club and the Freemasons, and these being kinds of outfits for Zionist infiltration. I mean, those ideas are out there, but this document is trying to certainly move away from this to show that the movement has sort of matured, has a much more realistic and learned grounding and understanding on which its program is based, and it does that effectively, fitting into the national consensus of Palestinian politics, and trying to elaborate certain strategic and tactical means for bringing about Palestinian unity, defining this as an Islamic national cause, not cutting against divisiveness and discrimination, trying to create a participatory platform within which their projects can take form and move forward. And Hamas needed to do this because the old documents used to be a sticking point for so many different parties who could so easily go back and find on the internet all these kind of crazy random elements of the earlier charter. it does really reflect, a well-developed political project. Now we see a much more developed political project where they're trying to go back to the core values, cut out any, inaccurate or confusing or elements that would that sort of are divisive and not well thought out. Moving away from this millenarist approach. The earlier document, for instance, is poetic in language. It has a lot of Quranic verses, references to Islamic history, etc. All of that is cut out of the new document. In fact, the new document doesn't even mention Palestine as Waqf land. It calls it as the Holy Land. There's also, importantly, a clear cut off from there's no mention of the Muslim Brotherhood that, of course, also existed in the previous document. And it's a forward-looking document that tries to actually posit the movement as the de facto defenders of the Palestinian national political center and consensus, which in their understanding includes both a national and Islamic dimension.
Yeah, that's a very, very thorough analysis, I must say, of what has appeared. Just very quickly, just to get back to the old Hamas charter, I've always been told by a number of people that in reality it was actually written by one person and just de facto became the charter of Hamas in that fashion. Is that a correct understanding of how it came into being? Of course, taking into consideration all the things you've said in the sense that it was a document of its time.
To be frank, I cannot speak of the precise genesis of the original document. What we can say about it is that document formed the basis of the launching of Hamas. Hamas didn't exist before. We had what was known as the Mujamma' al-Islami, and it was basically different kinds of Islamic social and political groupings that were organizing locally. But they were preparing themselves for launching themselves as full-blown political actors. And that document was sort of the founding document that came out to do that, coming out in December 1988, very soon after the First Intifada started. So it was also produced under rushed circumstances because the documents were coming under pressure internally from their own cadre that this popular movement was exploding, and what were we going to do about it? So they wanted to, jump ahead, produce a document, declare their existence, and then be able to regroup their forces to be able to begin more organized political work in the framework at the time of the Intifada. So it's also a product of both being underground, but also much more charged political context. You know, the explosion of the First Intifada was a major sort of historical turning point in Palestinian politics. So it incorporates and reflects a lot of that stuff, I would argue.
If you just tuned in, our special guest, Tawfiq Haddad, political analyst and writer, we're talking about the new Hamas charter. Tawfiq, if you can just quick stay online, we're just going to dash off and do some headlines and weather, and when we come back, we'll carry on with our conversation with Tawfiq Haddad about the Hamas new charter, which has been leaked out into the public. Stay with us. It's Voice of the Cape, Drive Time.
Drive Time, 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
And we welcome back. We go back to our guest, Tawfiq Haddad, who is a Palestinian-American writer based in Ramallah. He's a co-author and editor of numerous publications, too many to mention, but of course you can get his work in the National, Al Jazeera, Journal of Palestine Studies, ZNet, Counterpunch, and so on. And of course we're talking about Hamas's new charter. Tawfiq, let's get back to the business at hand. Do you think that Hamas's new charter also marks the fact that Hamas has entered the real world of politics? I mean, for example, we saw a Hamas delegation in South Africa, and I know that they visited a number of other countries talking to various role players.
Yeah, Yeah, certainly. I mean, Hamas has become a major Palestinian actor on the scene, if not the major. As I said previously, it won elections in 2006. It's been governing Gaza, albeit, of course, in the context of a political and financial siege from the international community, but governing domestically for the past 10 years. And it is forced through the exigencies and demands of its political and practical work on the ground to create a document that is functional and that preserves its goals, but also attempts to meet and answer to the various demands of the movement on the political front, but also on its tactical, strategic front and its moral front and legal front even. So that's why we notice. It's also, by the way, conscious of its role as an Islamic movement holding power, having come to power through democratic elections and being looked to by many aspects of the Islamic world as a model, or at least an experiment. And so for that reason, it has something to say back to the larger community of nations about its politics, the role of Palestine, and the broader struggles that are going on. So, for instance, it speaks saying that Palestine should be the center of a political struggle for all Arabs and Muslims. It's not Syria, it's not Afghanistan, it's nothing to do with those kinds of struggles. So it's kind of against this sort of trans-pan-Islamist kind of tendency that is going on. It also speaks very clearly against sectarianism, which is, has become a major tendency across the Arab and Muslim world, and speaks very clearly against that, and that this is not in our interest. It continually emphasizes a sense of moderation, the need for democracy, a respect for the other, and that arguing that these are Islamic values. So it's trying to redefine what Islamic values are in the context of the larger struggles that are going on there. So it has different sides to it, both to speaking to the international community, to the Islamic and Arab world, to Palestinian political actors, and to on the political level, as well as to its base.
How has it been received in the Palestinian realm? We have heard very little about that, how the average person in the streets of Ramallah or Jerusalem or Qalqilya or somebody, how has the average Palestinian person accepted or understood Hamas's new charter?
Well, I think it's first important to say that this was a leaked document.
Indeed.
It was probably leaked by Hamas, but it's my sense is that according to Mayadeen, when they published it, argued that this was being distributed internally amongst Hamas. Now, whether it's a final document or not, we don't know, but it could perhaps have slight revisions to it. So in that sense, we have to be cautious about understanding this as a final document. At the same time, I think that prevents it from being understood as a final document that Palestinian society can argue with or engage with, so to speak. At the same time, I think it's important to say that many aspects in this new charter are not that new to Palestinian society. For instance, the recognition or the willingness of Hamas to recognize a full Palestinian state in 67, including the right of return for refugees, with this being some kind of tactical on-the-path step towards realizing the full liberation of Palestine, which Palestinians have the right and duty to continue to pursue, that this is not a new position for Hamas. Like it was floated by Sheikh Ahmed Yassin in the late 90s and certainly in the early 2000s. Its political platform in 2006 also gave indications that it was, that the movement was moving in a pragmatic direction, but believing that pragmatism did not mean that it had to surrender long-term strategic, ideological, and political objectives. And so the document is balancing all this going on. So for that, on that level, I'm not sure Palestinian society will see in it something too new. At the same time, they will welcome a large part of it, because there, on the other side of the coin, Hamas exists within a political context, which is collapsing. The PLO framework has not been very effective or even active. The Palestinian Authority has become the dominant decision maker. It is run through autocratic means increasingly in recent years. The political division has also caused a lot of, problems domestically and, of course, politically for the cause as a whole. So I think many Palestinian actors do see a robust Hamas movement as, to some extent, a positive development, because we have a broader context of institutional collapse and retreat on behalf of the historical national frameworks of the Palestinian people, including the political parties of the left and within Fatah. So, but at the same time, this does not override, of course, the political diversity that exists within the Palestinian spectrum. And there are certainly people who accept and, praise the Hamas document and will get behind it and see it as something positive. At the same time, there's plenty of people who will look at it cautiously and judge Hamas on the grounds for what it does, both vis-a-vis Israel and the bigger struggle, but also domestically and its domestic political competitors. And that remains a very, fierce might not be the right word, but a confrontation or frictitious front right now, particularly with what's going on in Gaza. I don't know if your listeners have heard, but the Palestinian Authority has recently declared that it is cutting the wages of its employees that are paid down in Gaza, with the intention behind it, because they don't want to pay for this constituency anymore, and to some extent they want to push that problem onto Hamas to try and corral it back to finding some kind of consensus between to end the political division, but to end it on the terms of Fatah and the Palestinian Authority in Ramallah. So there is now brewing a very deep, or there is, of course, a pre-existing strong political divide between Gaza and the West Bank. But it remains fractious and is constantly bubbling over. So these local domestic fronts will continue to bubble and influence how people look towards documents like this. It's different for outsiders who are looking at the political transitions and transformations taking place in Palestinian politics, and having you and I comment on what this Hamas document means, versus if you live in Gaza under Hamas, or if you are part of the Palestinian Authority that feels that Hamas is a kind of movement that is disobeying the political institutions of the Palestinian movement that have historically guided it. So, of course, it depends on who you are and where you are in this struggle.
Just a final question. Obviously, you framed it excellently, but do you think that perhaps what we also need to understand about Palestinian politics, you mentioned the word diversity, and if one goes back to the elections of 2006, one of the only yardsticks that we have from the outside looking in, do you think people underestimate the fact that in the 2006 elections, there are a lot of parties that contested the elections, and I'm sure right now there are perhaps a lot of political factions or parties still existing within Palestinian politics? It's just that Hamas and what's left of the Palestinian Authority, or the ex-PLO, Fatah, just get more press.
Yes, I think to those outside and who are not also following on a daily basis Palestinian politics, it's much easier to, and media plays, of course, a big role in sort of trying to be, or de facto being quite reductionist about Palestinian politics and what's going on. They're framing it as though it's a Hamas-Fatah split, where, of course, this is not the case at all. There's a range of political actors there both within Islamist movements as well as national and leftist movements. And this, so Hamas is operating and needs to operate in this context, and because there are competing political actors and discourses out there. And interestingly enough, the elements, you know how I described how Hamas was trying to speak about its tolerance and moderation, its lack of it being a politics of the oppressed and trying to come to their aid, and that the Palestinian movement needs to have democracy and diversity. It speaks clearly about the role of women, all this stuff. In a way, Hamas is going back to elements of the old PLO charter that embodied a lot of this sort of diverse politics within Palestinian programs, and is trying to do a new version of it to the contemporary climate. Whether they're successful with this or not, I can't say. Of course, it's in a fierce political battle right now with Israel, of course, as well as with Fatah, and it has certainly many difficulties and challenges ahead of it. But you know, insofar as a charter is writing out the principles and ideas and strategies and tactics of your movement, of the new Hamas charter certainly reflects a mature political movement that wants to take upon itself the mantle of being the new Palestinian movement and institution that can bear the responsibilities before it and do so with politics and base that can both realize its goals and respect its morals and realize real achievements. And it remains to be seen whether it can do that. But in the context of a collapsing political structure around it, it certainly has more room to maneuver because of it.
Tawfiq Haddad, political analyst, author, writer, and editor, Palestinian-American based in Ramallah, co-author and editor of a number of publications, one of them Between the Lines, Readings in Israel, and a whole host of others. Also, he's been published in the National Al Jazeera Journal of Palestine Studies, Counterpunch, International Socialist Review, and Socialist Worker, just to mention a few. But Tawfiq Haddad, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. Everything of the best.
Bless you, sir. Can I just make one final point, sir?
You can.
Which only just has to do with the publications that you mentioned are older publications of mine, but I have a new book that deals specifically with the Palestinian struggle and its struggles with neoliberalism, and it's called Palestine Limited, Neoliberalism and Nationalism in the Occupied Territories, which has a much more updated set of writings of mine about what's going on now. So,
and
thank you.
And I will make sure that everybody is aware of that. And everything of the best with your latest publication.
Bless you, sir. Thank you.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.